Grade 7, Lecture C, Preparation. So here I want to touch on a number of issues, some of them on the miscellaneous side. How do you go about preparing for the extensive work ahead of you? And along with that, how do you prepare yourself for this new year, which is going to be demanding? Grade 6 is good preparation. 7th grade has a different quality about it, certainly. And the astral life is going more inwards. So there's different issues that will come up between you and the students, and different wonderful things that will arise as well, of course. And I want to mention that if you haven't done so already, please have a look at the sort of slideshow on Vimeo, the integrated curriculum, grade 7, which will give you, I think, a unique picture as to how, particularly in grade 7, but also to some extent in all the other grades as well, the subjects are all sort of woven together. Now, on the one hand, in terms of your preparation, this makes greater demands. You know, you're never really teaching one subject at any one time. You always want to have in mind the many connections and networks in a way that these subjects have with one another. On the other hand, what happens is when you're teaching any one thing, the children may recollect that there's a connection, consciously or unconsciously. In a way, it doesn't matter. So you are constantly getting supported by what has been given by you earlier. And on yet another level, if you haven't been doing this in the past, I would say it's incredibly important to do so now, which is that you want to work with the specialty teachers before the year begins, go over your block rotation, go over the subjects you plan to teach, and see where and how those specialty teachers can be involved. For example, maybe one of your Spanish teachers knows Italian. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he or she could come in and recite Dante in the original, or perhaps teach it to your children? This is a great year for French as well as Italian. And here again, that would be wonderful if you had a French teacher. I'm not sure many of them exist anymore in Waldorf schools. If you're working with the math specialty teacher, if you're working with the language arts specialty teacher, have them come into main lesson, maybe just once or twice during the year, and present something of the main lesson subject matter. Try to see for yourself ahead of time where it might relate to the physical education teacher's work, to the work in woodwork and handwork. Are there links that may be hidden that you can make? And see then, again, if the specialty teachers can work with that in their own class, or if you want them to come in and work with you, along with you. You want, in this year and next year, you want those students to know that you and the specialty teachers are on the same page. And if you're not, then please take the time and effort to get on the same page. I would say that you could probably skip any number of committee meetings during 7th grade, but you should start a meeting on a regular basis, even if it's just once a month, with your specialty teachers to see what they're seeing, to hear what they're hearing, and to help give them the support that they need to really have a degree of authority over the rightfully rebellious students in this year. And if you don't, you're going to find a scenario like this, that two girls perhaps are standing in the hall when you get back to class. Okay, what happened? What's going on? Why are you in the hall instead of in Spanish class? Oh, Mr. Schwartz, Senora Valdez, oh, what she said to us. What did she say to you? She said, oh, Mr. Schwartz, it's hard for me to say it. It really is. Go ahead, give it a try. She told us to shut up, and then they start to weep. Oh, Mr. Schwartz, our feelings were so hurt. You would never use that term, never. You understand us, and here the eyelids are batting, and there's just this look of endless admiration and adoration for you, the class teacher. So unlike that witch who's teaching them Spanish. Oh my God, oh, it's horrible. Well, you watch it, because, you know, class teachers, flattery will get you everywhere, and the students know it. They can play the ends against the middle so that you will perhaps not give them the demerits that they may have. Some schools have these point systems for people who get sent out of specialty teachers' classes. No, if you need the point system, you're failing. It's got to come before the points. It's got to come before there's any occasion for sending out. And part of it is recognizing that this is a naturally, healthily manipulative age. The astral body can't help it. It's mobile. It likes to move between people. It likes to see what's going to happen. If I try this, try that. They've learned how effective it can be at home already with their parents. Now they're going to apply what they've learned, and they're remarkably skillful on the specialty teachers in particular, so that finally you're the only one that they can talk to, and you feel really good about that and defend them mightily against everyone. Watch that, because then you'll be sitting in faculty meetings and the third grade teacher will complain about your children and you'll immediately get defensive. Don't let the children put you in that corner. You know, first and foremost, you are part of a community of teachers, and you've got to always assert that. Even where there is a specialty teacher who is failing in one way or another, even if there's one who's already been fired and is now a lame duck doing her best to survive for the last month or two of school, don't desert that teacher. Stay with them. And this lack of camaraderie, this lack of esprit de corps, is one of the most corrosive elements in today's Waldorf school. And the upper grades teachers, unfortunately, often play a very large role in that corrosiveness, because they feel so unified with their children, their class, and every specialty teacher is looked upon as only second best. Don't let that happen. The specialty teachers are the unheralded heroes in many respects of Waldorf education. So that's part of your preparation, not only planning your own year, but helping the specialty teachers plan theirs, being aware of what they're going to do. And I might also say, taking the time, do what you can to visit every specialty class once every week or two, at least twice a month, so the children see you sitting there or see you walking around looking at their handwork. Maybe you even raise your hand to answer a question in one class or another. Watch what they're doing. Watch the specialty teacher. Some teachers may feel a little bit nervous about your presence, but on the whole, people will see it as supportive. And the children will then see that you and the specialty teacher actually talk to each other and actually have a connection. And I'd say, on the whole, my experience in my own school and most schools that I've been to is the two teachers at the top of that list needing your support are usually the Spanish teacher and the Eurythmy teacher. You know, if you need to be in someone's classroom more than twice a month, those are the two that I would go to. In fact, for many years in my school, the policy was that every class teacher went to every Eurythmy class with his students. And I can assure you, it didn't make them angelic. It wasn't a substitute for a Eurythmy teacher who really knew how to galvanize a class. And they're few and far between, unfortunately. But nonetheless, it allowed you to be objective and see what was really going on and help that teacher to take a step or two forward. So that's also part of the preparation that you need to be doing. Another aspect of this work, and this is why seventh grade is in many ways such a privilege to get so far that one can finally do it. You know, a good part of your preparation is immersing yourself in content that is incredibly refreshing, beneficial, therapeutic, healing. You know, just getting immersed in the artwork of the Renaissance alone is a wonderful thing, especially if it's an area with which you're not that familiar, if you're in a town or city where there aren't many or perhaps any works of Renaissance art. You know, this is a time to try to find your way to a great museum, which means, you know, mostly in the coast or Chicago, one of the coasts or Chicago. If you can't do that, however, and if the Renaissance or particularly the artistic manifestations of the Renaissance are not something with which you have a real relationship, I have prepared these slideshows so that at least you can just sit there at your computer screen and look at that work. You know, I would say you don't even have to be listening to what I'm saying about one piece or another. You can turn off the sound if you wish and just look, just bathe in that. And in many respects, looking at this work on a computer screen can be very good because you often can get higher quality of reproduction digitally than you can in many books. I live in a little rural part of Pennsylvania, and having lived in the New York metropolitan area for a good part of my life, I've gone to our local libraries to see what they offer in terms of art books, and it's really sad. It's not very good. So you can't count on libraries anymore to have major collections of Renaissance art books. And in the case where the books are really beautiful and the library does have them, they may be out or they may be missing in action. Because they're such costly books very often. So do what you can. And also, once again, as preparation for your own class, but as a gift to the school as well, it would be so good if your school could set funds aside that every year some really good reproductions of artwork can be purchased to be put in the classroom. Your classroom this year should, like a reflection of grade one with a wonderful nature table and the beautiful silks and wools you had everywhere, you know, you think of the colors and the textures and so on, the crystals that are there for the children. In grade seven, you are indeed reflecting that, but now it's going to be by having reproductions of great works of art. all over the place. Your classroom should look like a museum or a great Renaissance villa from the House of Medici or something like that. Whatever reproductions you can get hold of. And if worse comes to worse, just use the school's color printer and reproduce some of the artwork on those slides. It will be small, but it's a lot better than nothing. And I just want to mention in this regard, sometimes teachers feel, yeah, but, you know, we don't want just reproductions like that. We'd want them to see the real thing. It's very interesting, however, that when Rudolf Steiner was speaking about the revolutionary fervor that had overtaken the working classes after the Great War, and he was speaking about, you know, what is it that the workers really want? And he said, it's not really the money, though that's important, but it's not just that they want to feel they're getting paid very well. More than that, they want a sense of cultural equality. And he then said it would be so good if more people could see the Mona Lisa, you know, that you didn't have to be wealthy enough to go to France and stay somewhere in Paris and go to the Louvre to see it. He said, and it is possible today. Great works of art can be reproduced well, and people can see them. And we have to think that up until the late 19th century, when Goethe, the young Goethe, spoke of the deep impression made upon him by Raphael's work, he was speaking about engravings that artists had made who had seen the real thing and came back and reproduced it. So great work of art has not always been just the original. And I would say, don't worry about that this year. Have those images around the students from day one. Make it a rotating exhibition, but let them see it and experience it. So that's also part of your preparation, trying to rustle up as many reproductions as you can. And then if that does happen and your school says, you know, go ahead and buy $300 of reproductions, which won't get you very far nowadays, then they should have a home in a storage area in the school where they can be maintained and kept. It would be a pity for a $50 or $70 reproduction of a Raphael to, you know, just have tack marks in it and be torn and fallen off the wall, somebody stepped on it. Take care of these things because they are really more precious than gold. Okay, we'll go on with this in the next lecture.